when there are 7,235 grains of sand all touching each other, that's when it becomes a heap.
I guess because you would see if you did that in public, right?
People would look at you, put you in a mental asylum.
Apart from looking at them like we're mental.
You'd be that guy just sitting in the public park rearranging grains of sand from the children's play park.
Hello and welcome to the Idiots Anonymous podcast. We are two Scottish engineers that graduated during COVID, and this is the show where we take everyday life and make it a bit more complicated than it originally was, granting us the title of idiots. So, to start us off, my name's Ruri and I'm an idiot.
Hello, Ruri.
Hi. So this week I'm an idiot because I have lived in this flat that I'm in for 4 years, and I only just found out last week that there's an indicator on the oven that tells me when the oven is preheated.
Mate, that's the same for every oven, is it not?
Yep. Yeah, but I don't know about you, but I am like a chuck it in the oven and leave it kind of person.
Yeah, definitely.
I've never preheated an oven for anything.
I was going to say, if you wait until that indicator comes on before putting your food in the oven, then you need to reevaluate your life, because that is just not efficient in the slightest. Although, you're using up the same amount of energy. Your oven's turned on for the same amount of time if you just chuck it on and set the timer to like 5 minutes extra.
Yeah, I know. I guess. But yeah, like he even makes a little noise. And I was like, I didn't even know it did that. So,
wow. Proper idiot.
Yeah, proper idiot.
Hello, my name's Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
This week I'm an idiot because I had all my notes typed up for this episode and I went away to get dinner and came back and my laptop was just installing updates and deleted them all. So now I have no notes except from the ones that came from my brain in the 10 minutes before hitting record.
You'd think you would have learned from the last time you told a story about deleting stuff and having to redo it.
I don't. I'm the worst person ever for backups. I even got a solid state drive, an external one, like last week with the intention of backing up my laptop and all my files on it. It's still empty. I still haven't done it.
Right. Get on that. Stop procrastinating.
Yeah.
You got time.
I'm not coming back in the podcast till I've backed up all of my files.
Yeah, you're grounded.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's actually been a couple of weeks since it's been just you and me, Ryan, isn't it?
Yeah, I've missed you, buddy.
So I'm kind of hoping we're not like a married couple whose like kids move out and then they're not entirely sure how to talk to each other anymore just because they've not got that buffer in between. So I thought, instead of doing this whole, here's what we're going to talk about, here's how the podcast is going to go, let's just talk to each other. Let's just be people.
Well, that's going to be pretty hard.
Nah, we'll get it. We'll get into the swing of things. So I'll just like start us off, and I mean, you gave away that we do notes, but I'll start us off. Ryan, what is a paradox?
A paradox is a self-contradictory statement. For example, what would happen if Pinocchio said, my nose will grow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so if he says it will grow and that's false, then it will grow.
Yeah.
If he says it won't, then it... Yeah, paradox. You might also know them as catch-22s. It's another kind of weird thing to say that.
Yep.
So I thought paradoxes are quite a cool thing because they mess with your brain just a little bit.
And oh, yeah.
I quite like talking about stuff like that. I just had another kind of like base one to kind of get your head around paradoxes. Because it's a word paradox, so you don't really need to know like a ton about it. So there's a thing called the Grelling-Nelson paradox. So it says that there's two kind of states a word can be. So you either get autological words, and these are words that describe themselves, or you get heterological words, which are words that do not describe themselves.
Right.
And every word is either autological or heterological.
Okay.
For example, like a heterological word could be red. No, yes, yeah, heterological could be red.
It's fucking with your mind already.
Yeah, because the word red itself is not red. Unless you wrote it in red, then it would be autological, I guess. But the kind of, the paradox comes around is the word heterological?
No, because it's quite long.
So you're saying heterological doesn't describe itself.
So wait, oh, okay. Yeah, my brain is in tangles already.
This is mush.
I don't know. Okay, wait, so heterological means that it doesn't describe, what is a description word for words that don't describe themselves?
Yes.
Oh, but then the word heterological is the other one.
Ah, right. So if the word heterological is heterological, that means it does not describe itself, right?
Oh, mate. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So if it doesn't describe itself, if it doesn't not describe itself, right? Then it must be autological, which means it isn't heterological.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes in. The word can't describe or not describe itself.
Yeah, you managed to pick the simplest, most understandable example for introducing paradoxes. So thank you very much.
I thought it would be more simple than it turned out to be.
I'm going to stick with Pinocchio.
Pinocchio is better. I don't know why. Anyway, that thought kind of kicked us off into paradoxes. In the little research you did you find any kind of cool paradoxes that exist?
Mate, I found so many cool paradoxes. I scoured the internet for hours and I had hundreds, if not thousands of words that I'd written for notes for this show. But unfortunately, they're all deleted.
You remember anything?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if we're going down the vein of paradox, you tend to think of temporal paradoxes or, you know, time travel based paradoxes. The most famous of which is one called the grandfather paradox, which is, it describes a scenario in which, let's say you had a time machine, okay? You jumped in it, you went back, I don't know, 70 years, and you killed your grandfather.
Yeah.
Not only is that psychopathic, and that would be a terrible crime on humanity, but it's also a terrible crime on the space-time continuum, because by killing your grandfather, you no longer are born. So you're unable to go back in time and kill your grandfather. So then inherently that is self-contradictory. You know, you do not exist to go back to stop yourself existing.
Yeah, which kind of like messes around a wee bit with like, well, then how does any of that, do you just cease to exist? Do you get removed then? Like the time police come in and just go, nope, pop you out, you're gone. We'll replace you with someone else and let the like time heal itself again.
Well, in a lot of different movies and different sort of explanations of these types of paradoxes, or, you know, whenever people are engaged in time travel, they always say, no, we can't do this or we can't do that because it'll cause a paradox. And someone always says, oh, but then what will happen? And no one really explains what happens. They just say that would be catastrophic for the space-time continuum. Does time implode on itself? Don't know.
Yeah, but it's just because like it doesn't make much sense. So if everything ceases to make sense, do we just go, nah, done?
The simulation stops because, as we all know, we are living inside of a simulation.
It's funny you talk about time though. So back in the day when they were first thinking about like paradoxes, there was like a weird theory.
Can I stop you one second? There's like a weird sound coming from my closet. I swear I closed that closet, but now it's open again. Never mind. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, weirdo. Yeah.
You can edit that out if you want. Sorry.
No, you're okay. I'm sure. Well, I'll probably edit it. So they thought back in the day that like everything was motionless. Like the world was made up of a series of fragments.
Yeah.
At no point is anything moving. It's only moving when you add up these kind of frames as such. Kind of like a movie.
Right.
So someone suggested, I think it was Neo, the guy's name was. He was a philosopher.
Ah, from The Matrix.
From The Matrix. And he has suggested that you are not yourself after every moment. Every moment you become someone new because you're not the same as you were last time. Which kind of leads into like a weird paradox that is called the ship of Theseus. So this one's quite famous. So it suggests that we have a ship. We have a big wooden ship. Lovely. Got golden sails. Lovely. Right? And over time, we upgrade that ship. We give it a new mast. We give it new sails. We change the cladding. We upgrade the ship.
Yeah.
We change it so that eventually no parts from the original ship exist on that ship.
Uh-huh.
Is that still the ship of Theseus? Is that still the same ship?
No.
But it would still have the same name and people would still know it by that
same
name. Yeah,
conceptually,
right?
By human perception, it's the same ship because it has the same name. But if you're talking about literal physical matter, then no, it's not.
Right. And if we add on top of that, just an extra layer, say when we upgraded this ship, we took all of those parts and we stored them.
Uh-huh.
And then we built a ship using all the original parts from the original ship.
Yeah.
Is that a new ship because it has been built to be new? Uh-huh. Or is that the original ship?
That's the original ship, probably.
Yeah? Did you say so?
I mean, I think so.
So I'd like to cast your mind back to episode one. We discussed what would happen if you got uploaded to a digital afterlife. Right?
Yep. Go listen to it
if
you haven't
already.
Using this
paradoxical theory,
yep.
If you got uploaded, are you, because you have been taken apart and put together and more has been added to make you code, are you then yourself?
Well, that I feel like that's a little bit different though, because human consciousness is basically a combination of all your memories and all your actions and your personality. Those are the things that make you, and those are the same. Whereas the things that make a ship are all these things such as the sails and the, you know, the wood, the hull,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. And those are all different. So you're sort of comparing like a physical construct to a conceptual construct, because consciousness is created, that concept is created by humans.
Okay, so would you say that if you were born, say, in my body, you think you'd be the same person you are?
If we switched minds.
Yeah, say we switched bodies, right?
Yeah.
Do you think you would go on to be the same person you are now, or do you think that would change?
I think I would have much better luck with the ladies.
Yes, I think evidence is showing that. But I just thought it's quite a cool one that,
yeah,
if you keep the original parts of something and rebuild it, is that then the same thing? Because it's not been built by the same people. It's not had the same journey, even though they might all be the same parts or the same memories. It's just like a weird paradox. Because I personally would say it's still the same ship if it's been upgraded, right? Okay. But then maybe once the second one's been built, it's not, because then another exists.
Yeah, because then you could say two instances of the ship of Theseus exists, you know? And then you're like, oh my God, which one's the real one? Or which one, you know? And then it becomes a bit confusing. Similar to when if you were to, you know, time travel and let's say you went back in time, made a decision, altered the future, which timeline, you know, which version of future Ryan is the real future Ryan and all that sort of stuff. And then you start getting into territory, which is very hard to use your brain to understand.
But I guess you could possibly find more understanding if you defined certain things.
Oh, so for sure.
Like something can exist in a definition. And just like on the topic of definitions, got another cool paradox.
Smooth.
So this one's called the Sorites paradox. And this is all about, it's kind of exists because of human beings. So what from our definitions. So this one states that if we have a heap of sand, so you've got like a handful of sand, right? You would call that a heap. Okay. And let's say I take one grain of sand away from that. Is that still a heap?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because as you're saying, like humans define that.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's just say I remove another grain of sand. Is that still a heap?
When is it no longer a heap, you're trying to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
At what point after I start taking away grain of sand, does that become not a heap?
Yeah, because it's all based on perception.
Yeah.
If I have a little bundle of sand, you know, 2 centimeters high, some person might define it as a heap, some people wouldn't, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Okay. So would you say that single grain of sand at the end is still a heap?
No.
Okay. Well, again, on the reverse of that, if I then decide to add to that again, at what point does that become a heap?
When there are 7,235 grains of sand all touching each other, that's when it becomes a heap.
I guess because you would see if you did that in public, right?
People would look at you, put you in a mental asylum.
Apart from looking at them like we're mental.
You'd be that guy just sitting in the public park rearranging grains of sand from the children's play park.
Yeah, but like if you asked people when they walked by at different points in the day as you were moving this sand grain by grain, you would get different answers.
Yeah.
Like, hey, would you call this a heap?
One person would say, yeah, I would say that's probably a heap. Then the next person comes along and you say, would you say this is a heap of sand? Then they would crack you in the face.
Yeah, if you did it in Glasgow,
yeah.
Probably. Just like, it's wet. But I just thought that one's quite cool in terms
of
definition.
I was, most of my background research on paradoxes comes from conflicting time travel theories.
Okay.
And so there's this popular one, which I find really interesting, called the bootstrap paradox. Have you seen
I've heard of this one.
Yeah. So basically, the bootstrap paradox revolves around self-created items or pieces of knowledge.
Yeah.
And to explain that, imagine if you invented a time travel,
a singular time travel,
just one singular time travel. If you invented a time machine and went back in time and met Albert Einstein, right? When he was a young guy, and you bumped into him at a bar, got to know him, became his buddy, became his friend, and you presented him with the theory of relativity.
Yeah.
And you said, look at this. And he was like, whoa, this is great. And then you say, you know what? That would just popped into my head. So you can have it, publish it, go ahead, test it, see if it works. So then through time, Einstein's theory of relativity becomes proven and gets published all across the world and becomes the foundation of modern physics,
mm-hmm.
and then leads to you in present time hearing about that and then traveling back in time and giving that to him. So where did the knowledge come from?
Yeah.
Right? Because you gave it to him in the past, but you only know about it because you heard it as Einstein's theory of relativity in your present time, yeah. you know?
Who invented it?
Yeah. Where did it come from?
It works the same way as if you gave yourself plans to make a time machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Then, yeah, yep. where did they come from?
Exactly. And so this is a really common time travel paradox problem, but I think a lot of these paradoxes can be solved because, as you sort of spoke about a few minutes ago, it depends on what you define as time and what what theory you're basing your understanding of time on, right? Mm-hmm. And so one explanation of, you know, how time works or how the space-time continuum works is called self-consistent, which is yep. linear. So time travels from point A to point B in a straight line, right? Mm-hmm. And this is when this bootstrap paradox would be such a big problem, because this knowledge is self-created. You know, you don't know who invented it. But if you switch your worldview to what's called meta-time, or the many worlds theory, a way to... The meta time is a simplification of the many worlds theory. So meta time, mm-hmm. imagine you're looking at a Wikipedia document, right? And this is on the Wikipedia document, that is the timeline. All the stuff on here is the historical events of the world.
Yeah.
And if you look at the revision history of that document, there are various other instances of this web page that have existed and do exist, and so these might contain different pieces of information. And then this bootstrap paradox mm-hmm. is solved if you believe in that theory, where, you know, you have essentially it's not self-created knowledge anymore, because it was created in a different timeline, in a different version of the world, and you just brought it across to your one.
It splits off and yeah. becomes its own thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. You ever seen like the idea that whenever you flip a coin, if you got heads, uh-huh. there's then another instance where it was tails, and then
yep.
the world splits off. They do it in... It
branches off, yeah.
And Futurama, they've done it in Fringe, if you've ever seen it.
Seen Fringe, yeah.
Yeah, which is cool, that there's just like, anytime there was an option for one thing or the other to happen, it then split, and it constantly split, and then becomes this huge, infinite number of worlds.
Yeah, yeah. And that sort of lines up with two different philosophy, the worldview philosophies. You've got determinist versus the multiverse theory, and mm-hmm. the determinist theory points towards this linear time where everything has a cause and effect, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we might talk about that in a future podcast, but for now we'll just stick to where we are,
trying not to overcomplicate.
Yeah. And so a cool example of sort of this cause and effect theory is essentially, if you imagine that there was a film called The Time Machine mm-hmm. From 2002, I think. And what happens is that this guy, his wife is brutally murdered, right? So he dedicates the rest of his life to building a time machine so he can go back and save her.
Yep.
So he goes back to, you know, the point before his wife was murdered hundreds of thousands of times, you yep. know, to try and save her. But every single time he experiences his wife being murdered in various different ways, no matter what happens, she dies.
Yeah.
And that's because he would not be able to be there back in time
yeah.
if his wife had not have died, because that was his motivation for building the time machine. And so
yeah.
the paradox is prevented from occurring.
Oh, well, you could also call that the predestination paradox.
And what's that?
That's when you, like, say you went back in time to stop an event, but you going back causes the event.
Yes. Yeah.
So
it just fulfills. Yeah.
The event might be the trigger, or vice versa. Just like you have to go back to do this thing, but you can't stop that thing, because to go back, you have to, and then it continues in a massive loop.
Uh-huh.
But just a sec, what's that behind you?
I don't know.
I thought I saw. Anyway, sorry, I'll cut that out again.
My camera isn't, I'm just watching you. I don't have my camera up.
Okay, that's fine. Sorry, what were you saying?
I lost my train of thought. My brain is fried from these paradoxes. Have you seen all these stories online of people who claim to be time travelers?
Yes, they're very cool. I just want one of them to be real. So, just one.
Yeah. And also, this is sort of consistent with, do you remember that Stephen Hawking thing he did? I think it was like 2015, 2016 or something.
Was it the big special on time travel he did?
No, I think he might have talked about this in that special, but what he did was he hosted a dinner party, right? And then he sent out the invites to the dinner party after it had finished to see if time travel would at all be possible at any point in the future, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was quite funny because that subscribes to the linear time model.
Yeah.
Whereas we don't know if that's the case, you know?
Yeah, but if that model exists, right, surely there has to be a first for it to happen.
A first what?
So, like, when you're saying, like time travel would exist, right? Say we're on top of time. So nothing that happens yet has become part of the linear list.
Uh-huh.
Then what if we haven't hit the point?
Where it branches off.
Yeah, so then you're living in the first.
Yeah, exactly.
It hasn't happened. They haven't made it yet because time hasn't gotten there. So they can't go back. But then it would be a different instance of you that would experience it going back.
Right. And if there's only one timeline thus far, then so like when time travel gets created, that's when all these multiple timelines start to branch off. So it's impossible to travel back before time travel was created.
Yeah. They did it in Futurama as well, that it might be a loop. Professor Farnsworth makes a machine that only goes forward in time.
Yeah.
But they go so far forward in time that they then come back to the beginning of the universe.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, people go, how does the Big Bang happen? How did that happen out of nowhere? The Big Bang was actually the end of the universe, which in turn becomes the beginning of the universe.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's very well. Oh, we do another one where like Fry becomes his own grandfather.
I've seen that one. Yeah.
Which is all like, you know, like love and relationships would be a bit wild in time travel. But, you know, speaking of love and relationships, Ryan.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at just like a number of people and thought, do you know what? I'd like to kiss that person. I'd like to marry them. Or I'd just like to kill them.
If this is for the purpose of a segment, then absolutely yes.
Yeah, I bet you have. Okay. It's segment time. So this whole topic we're on, paradoxes and things, it messes with your mind a wee bit. So sometimes it's nice just to go back to simple.
Go back.
You know? When you used to play Kiss, Marry, Avoid.
Yeah.
Simple game. Give you three people. You pick who you'd kiss. You kick who. Kick. You'd pick who you marry. And you'd pick who you avoid.
Kick who you kiss.
Pick who you kiss.
That's a philosophy to live by.
Right. Start us off. We'll go friends. You got Phoebe, Monica, and Rachel. Who would you kiss? Who would you marry? Who would you avoid?
Who we got? Phoebe, Monica, Rachel. I would marry... No, wait. Do we have to do it in order?
No, you just pick whoever.
Okay. I would kiss Rachel, marry Monica, avoid Phoebe.
Wow. That's pretty different. I would marry Phoebe because she's a bit wild.
But I do not... This is just for the purposes of the segment. Completely will not do any of these things.
To characters that don't exist.
Yeah.
It's very noble of you. Yeah, see, I would marry... Marry Phoebe, kiss Monica, and kill Rachel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say kill Rachel?
Avoid Rachel.
Avoid.
I wouldn't kill her. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't go back in time, find the character, kill. I wouldn't do it. I promise.
But if you went back in time and killed that character, then there's no way that we could be on this podcast talking about that character because they wouldn't exist right now.
I'll move on to a different show.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Move to New Girl. Schmidt, Winston, and Nick.
I would kiss them all.
You kiss them all. They're all lovely.
No. Kiss Nick, marry Schmidt, avoid Winston.
I think that makes the most sense, doesn't it? Because Schmidt would be like, he's organized. And I think you kind of need that.
Excuse me.
Moving on to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Star-Lord, Iron Man, and Ant-Man. Some fan favorites.
Okay. Kiss Iron Man, but he has to have his helmet on.
Okay. What a weird, but okay, yeah.
I would... Oh, wait, no. I'm rearranging it. I'm going to kiss Star-Lord, but he has to have his helmet on. I'm going
to... So am I assuming they all have to have their helmets?
Yes, this is a helmet.
I like it when they're in character.
Sequence, yeah. I would marry Iron Man because he's got loads of money.
Yeah.
And I would become one half of the Stark Enterprises. Stark Industries, sorry. Stark something, okay. Something. And avoid Ant-Man. Yeah.
How could you get rid of Ant-Man? He's so lovely.
Because...
I guess that's maybe Paul Rudd, like more than actual Ant-Man.
Okay. I guess you don't want his helmet on.
Oh, no. Helmet off. But just helmet off. Everything else needs to stay. I'll marry Star-Lord so I can go on space adventures.
Oh, that's cool.
Then I'll... And then I would probably kiss Iron Man as well. I love Paul Rudd, but I maybe don't love Ant-Man. Yeah, okay.
I'm marrying Star-Lord. Yeah, that seems reasonable to me.
Kissing Iron Man. Yeah. I'm avoiding Ant-Man. He's also a criminal, to be fair. So, you know.
Exactly. He's just not reliable with the kids.
No. No, I can't leave the kids at home and I can't go out with a drink with the girls. It'd be terrible. Okay, moving on to fan favourite Harry Potter.
Okay. Ooh.
Dumbledore, Snape, McGonagall.
Oh, jeez. Dumbledore, Snape, McGonagall. I would... Oh, that's a really hard one. Well, first of all, I'm going to avoid Snape. Do but I want to kiss Dumbledore?
Only mean to save Harry, wasn't he?
Don't care. He's just a nasty man, really. His mannerisms are just quite rude in general.
Do you not like this? Would you not like to kiss me, Ryan?
That's my biggest fear. That's what a boggart would turn into. For me.
Oh.
Sexy Snape. I would
specifically say.
I would kiss McGonagall and marry Dumbledore because Dumbledore is gonna die soon. And then I'll get his money.
Does he have money? Does he use money in the wizard's world?
I might get like some of his cool magical possessions.
That's true.
Like the Phoenix, I'll get the Phoenix and I'll
He's
get
pretty cool.
I'll get just like random artifacts that might be quite cool. Then I can sell them for like loads of money. And Nocturnally.
Yeah. Oh, you've got plans just to get rich.
That's me, mate. I'm an entrepreneur.
You're like a fictional gold digger. See, I have a plan for this.
I'm ready for power, mate.
I have a plan. So, you know how McGonagall can be a cat?
Yeah.
Can I say marry, but I just have a pet cat instead?
So you're going to force her to stay transfigured into a cat? For the duration of your marriage? That doesn't seem like a healthy relationship to me.
How about only when she's in the house?
Okay, that's fine.
You know how when you let cats out anyway? So she can, in the house, she's a cat.
And then during the day, she goes sniffing about the forest.
Yeah, and just be a woman or what. I don't know what McGonagall does in her spare time. She can do whatever she wants. Then I'll give Snape a wee kiss because he was
waiting
after Harry's mum forever.
Yeah, he deserves some love.
He deserves something, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to kill Dumbledore because I just don't trust him.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Right. I'll close this off with Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un.
Oh my God, mate. avoid Donald Trump. Oh my God. Actually, do you know what? I'm reconsidering because who's going to do more damage to the earth in the future? Is it going to be Donald Trump? Because, I mean, Donald Trump's damage has been done, right? He's on his way out of his presidency. I think at least. Whereas Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin are still like on the rampage type thing.
That's true.
You know? Do you know what? If I kill Vladimir Putin, then Russia will send nukes to like America because they think they all have done it. Oh, this is a hard one, mate. We said we would stay out of politics. I don't like this.
Okay. People always put up the cute Putin memes. So give him a wee kiss. We'll avoid Donald and then we'll become agents like in that movie, The Interview. Go to North Korea. We'll mess around with the government and then we'll take over the country.
Uh-huh. And become
and we'll
rich.
Give people food.
And get oh, give people food and also become rich. Okay.
Oh, also become rich. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's kind of the main priority.
Yeah, give people loads of food.
Well, perfect. That was a nice little escape.
Oh, that's nice, mate.
Let's hit hard back into our topic, Ryan.
There's something that I brought up and then forgot to elaborate on in the previous part, which was the people who claim to be time travelers.
Yes.
I kind of said that and then didn't really expand on it. There's a video online of a guy called Noah, right? And I watched this video earlier. And this guy, he's like he looks like early 20s. And it's a video of him just like sitting in a sort of room, blank, nondescript room. And his face is all blurred out. And he says he's from the year 2030.
Did this come out a wee while ago?
Yeah, it came out ages ago. Yeah. And basically in this video, he's saying like he has a family that are alive right now, but he isn't. Is he born? Well, he must be born. Or wait, because it came out ages ago, he must be like much older now. So anyway, it's like he was either just born or hasn't been born yet. And his family, his parents are alive in this time. But he can't interact with them. And he's stuck here because something went wrong with his time traveling equipment. And he's stuck here and he can't interact with his family because it will cause a paradox because you can't go see yourself and then you know, it'll cause all sorts of crazy stuff to happen. But then I'm thinking, why would you post this video of you on the internet? Like, your face is blurred, but you can still see the general build and shape of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you go public with that if you don't want to cause a paradox? And also, see if you're coming back from the future, right? Surely you would tell us about COVID.
Yeah, I don't know if any of the people that said they were from the future actually predict anything major.
Oh, they do, mate. They do, mate.
Have they not tested people before and like say,
oh, this guy passed a lie detector test.
Really?
Yeah. And there's also this other dude. He doesn't have a name. Basically, it's a video of him like in this snowy park, and he says he's from the year 6000, and he holds up this photo to the camera of a futuristic city, and it looks like something that someone's made in Photoshop, or it's just a screenshot from a random film or something. But it's like blurry and distorted. And he says, oh, that's what happens when you time travel with photos. Like, photographs get all distorted.
you could say anything.
I know. He goes, in the year 6000, we've got ultra powerful AIs that are 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. And humans also upload their consciousnesses to the cloud and go to like a digital life in the cloud to live forever.
Wait a minute. Did he direct an Amazon Prime original?
Well, what I'm thinking is that is a really good concept for a podcast. So if I was to go back in time, I would probably tell or leave a note for myself in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a really good topic to make your first podcast episode on. Uploading your mind to a digital afterlife type thing.
Yeah. Did you not come up with that episode?
Yeah, I think that was my idea. Oh, that's weird.
Anyway, how do you think they would have gotten back? Like, how do you think they would have traveled through time, like these people that claim to be...
Oh, this one guy said he has like a special chip implanted in his hand that lets him. It basically, this little chip thing essentially lets him travel through time with all of his atoms in his body at once. So it like, it binds all of his atoms properly so that he doesn't get spliced up when he's time traveling.
Is it the chip that protects him or the chip that allows him to travel? Or both?
I don't know, maybe both.
Einstein had a formulated idea of how we might time travel.
Okay.
So obviously you've got like his theories of relativity. So the way Einstein explained time and space is that it's kind of like a mesh. So you've got space is directional. So you've got forwards and backwards, up and down and left and right. But then the additional dimension, like the fourth being time, that's past and present. And they all kind of mix together in sort of like a mesh across the galaxy.
Yeah.
So because it's like a physical mesh, then it can be manipulated by things like gravity. So intense forces of gravity would warp this kind of mesh.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And stretch it. So that has been proved that can happen, that it does affect. And you can test that by using like atomic clocks, which are like really, really kind of precise clocks that use things like quartz.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
So you can do it at like different heights on the planet, is different times, very, very minuscule. But if you had a big enough gravity well, say a black hole, you could make serious damage to this space-time. So he thought of a thing called like a wormhole, slightly different than a black hole. He thought these wormholes were like gates. So you could go in one wormhole and you would come out another.
Did Einstein come up with this?
Yeah, this was his theory. So he proved relativity, but he also had a theory about wormholes.
Cool.
So he said that if, say you had a black hole next to one of the entrances or to this wormhole, then that other end would be at a different time than you are now.
Yes, so if you went exactly.
In one wormhole and came out the other, there was a different time, you could essentially travel through time.
You would come out at a different point in time.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said that was like a way that it could work, that you could travel through time.
Simple. We just need to find a wormhole.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know personally if where he got the idea of a wormhole, if that was just a theory or whatever, but it was not that long after he like proved relativity.
Yeah.
Damn.
And so those methods of time travel you're talking about, there's obviously the something we spoke about in the past in the aliens episode, traveling at the speed of light or traveling faster than light allows you to travel into the future. But I don't think many movies subscribe to these scientific theories because it just doesn't really work well on screen, does it? Well, except Interstellar, because they sort of talk about the sciencey stuff about wormholes and...
They do, and they have the part, kind of guess partial spoiler, that one of the planets they're investigating has a really, really strong force of gravity, so that the guy on the orbiting ship ages faster than those on the ground.
Yeah.
So like a day on the surface is like 10 years in space.
That's mad. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess they all do slightly different ways of kind of traveling through time or manipulating it.
Yeah. There's obviously these instantaneous ones as well, so that you see, for example, the DeLorean in Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the TARDIS. Well, the DeLorean travels through time, but not space, right?
No, I guess technically it travels through space in that it moves.
Well, yeah, but its ability to time travel doesn't affect its location in space. It's still moving.
No.
And like as a car would, you know?
Yeah, it's the speed that gets the power you have to hit. Yeah.
And the TARDIS basically transports you to any point in time and space.
There was actually a paper written on how that might work.
No.
It was written by these two guys, Ben Tippett and Dave, I don't know how to pronounce this, is T-S-A-N-G, so Chang.
Yeah.
They called the paper Transversible Acronal Retrograde Domains in Space-Time, which of course spells out TARDIS.
Yeah.
So they kind of used the Einstein's theory of relativity in the motion. So what there is whenever you get these gravity wells, that there is kind of like a loop that's created around these.
Yeah.
And what the TARDIS can do is it can enter those where time and space don't necessarily act the way they should.
Uh-huh.
And that if they were all linked together, it could follow a path through and therefore enter in one time and be able to fall out at another.
Yeah.
So that's how, the opening sequence when it's like waving around and things like that, when it's moving, that's what it's doing, is traveling through these wells. But they did a whole PhD on it.
Who knew?
Possible time travel.
Who knew the TARDIS was so scientifically accurate?
It's like, but like, it's cool that they were like, actually, it kind of makes sense that that might happen.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
There's also a film called Primer that came out in 2004, and they have a really cool concept of time travel. So essentially, the only way you can time travel, so a time machine is basically this box, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you go inside this box and you want to travel back in time by 6 days, you would have to sit in that box for 6 days. So like you would have to take in your food and water and whatnot, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
But you can only travel back to the point, you can't travel further back than when this time machine was switched on. Essentially,
okay.
Which sort of subscribes to that same thing you were talking about. Like, you can only time travel when those multiple realities are existing. So mm-hmm. Before that time machine was switched on, there was only one linear movement of time. What? See if you had access to one of these methods, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say, for simplicity's sake, you've got a watch, right? Like a Ben 10 watch. And you just go, beep, 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 beep. You twist it. And then you just set the time, date, and year.
Yeah.
And then instantly transports you there. Just like poofed, like teleports you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Can I go forward or back?
Yep, forward or back.
Right, I probably wouldn't go back because I'd be too scared to butterfly and affect myself.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe hop forward 1,000 years.
Ooh.
See what's going on.
Yeah, but what if the Earth no longer exists in 1,000 years? You'll just be like,
well, then I'm a goner, aren't I?
You're what?
Yeah, I'm a goner then.
You're dead? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I would wait until like I'm already old, right?
Uh-huh.
Store the watch away for a wee bit and then, like, say I'm like 80 or something. Uh-huh. I'm like, well, I'll do it now. Like, what's the danger?
Yeah. An alternate way to mitigate that risk is to just jump 50 years at a time, you know?
Yeah, but technically the world could end at any point. So even with that 50 years, you could still end up in a horrid, like, say we get hit by an asteroid. That could happen at any time.
Yeah, but we have forewarning of that. Okay, let's say 5-year time periods. Because I'm assuming...
That might make sense.
Yeah. Because I'm assuming that we have the technology to foresee an asteroid impact. We do, like, you know, years in advance.
Uh-huh.
So you would go forward and just see what civilization is like.
Yeah.
1,000 years from now. Yeah.
Yeah. What if you get there and it's like, oh, are you 80? Oh, we can just reverse that if you want. And then you could spend a little bit of time in the future.
Oh, yeah. We've discovered anti-aging technology here. Wait.
I'm like, oh, of course you have.
Yeah, of course. Or they're waiting for you because they know that this is the point in time where Ruri comes to after he invents the time machine.
Yeah. Like, hi, how are you? We've been waiting a long time for you. And there's like people like tinfoil hats going, yeah, he's here. He's here.
Start your own religion.
And I just go, nah, this is a bit much for me. Just hop straight back again.
I think the first thing I would do is probably just go back and just like fuck with myself by like just making me think I'm crazy by like maybe opening doors or changing stuff around in my room, like opening and closing my closet door or something like that.
Yeah, but
it's unrealistic though.
Yeah, obviously. No, yeah, no,
yeah, that's probably that's a really stupid idea. I think I would be, yeah, you would stay away from the butterfly effect. I wouldn't go short time periods. I wouldn't go to a point in time in the future where I'm still alive, because I still might bump into myself or might see stuff of my future that might influence me in the present.
Yeah, you could like, I don't know,
you know,
mess yourself up so you don't actually do it.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what the doc says in Back to the Future. It says like any knowledge of my future self like will be drastically catastrophic to
very well done.
Yeah, thank you. Drastically catastrophic. It's a tongue twister. To me as a person. Because, you know, the doc knows that he's gonna die.
Yeah.
So he wears a bulletproof vest.
But what if like you going back to yourself causes the thing that you need to happen? You know what I mean?
Well, that would be again subscribing to the deterministic version of it. Like the, for example, like see in Harry Potter when they use the time turner.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great example of that, because in the first half of the film, like some weird, unexplainable stuff happens, you know? And then Harry and Hermione get saved from the Dementors by a mysterious figure, right? Then in the second half of the movie, they go back in time to change a few things. And it turns out they are the ones who they experienced doing the strange things to them in the past. And then Harry has no choice but to save himself from the Dementors, because that's what he experienced in the past. So he doesn't have free will there, you know?
Yeah, because if he does, that messes with the timeline kind of thing.
But the fact is, like, he cannot, because he experienced it, him as a person. He was saved. So if he doesn't go back and save himself, then he can't be alive to be there in that moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, it would be cool to think what happens if he didn't, you know?
Yeah, and there's a great, great TV show about this exact concept called Devs.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, and I think that is something we might talk about next time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here.
It's just like a ton of stuff, just like crazy jumping around and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. So essentially it's about this quantum computer that is able to run algorithms, basically, based on whichever theory of time that you give it, whether that's deterministic or multiverse, and they use that to run calculations in terms of they take a snapshot of the world right now using this sophisticated scanner, and they can project using this quantum computer backwards or forwards. So they can run a simulation and they can hear Jesus talking, you know, 2000 years ago. And they can also predict exactly what's going to happen in the future. And one of the main themes of the show is what happens when you see what happens in the future and you make a different choice. And can you make a different choice?
And then that could subscribe to the multiple,
yeah,
like multiple futures and things like that. Becomes like a split point.
Yeah.
Whether you did it or didn't do it.
Yeah.
Those kind of theories are like how we could jump around in time, that time is a thing that you're, you know, there's like a start and an end. Whether there might be branches, it's like a start and an end.
Yep.
Now, there's also kind of like that time isn't itself always constant, that it kind of merges and moves. Kind of like when we were talking about the theory of relativity. So time isn't necessarily just relative to points in space. It's also relative to individuals.
Oh,
we all
yeah.
experience time slightly differently.
Yeah.
So one thing is to do with size. So I got told ages ago that you can't swat a fly because a fly is really small and they can see time slow.
Yeah.
Right. And I always thought that was kind of silly. How does that make sense? But in reality, the way we experience time is how fast our brains can perceive it. Okay.
Right.
So that is why, I don't know, if you say you're in a really kind of hyperactive state where you've got a lot of adrenaline pumping, life can seem to move faster than it normally does.
Yeah.
Is a factor of it. Obviously, adrenaline does it too. So there are some studies that suggest that different species and different people experience time, and it's all down to their metabolic rate, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So your metabolic rate is like how quickly things get turned into energy, how quickly your body takes over kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Right. So if you have a fast one, your body is moving faster and it's able to, your nervous system is able to process information faster. So if you have a faster metabolic rate, they've done some studies that you can see time slightly slower.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the light test. So what they have is a screen and it's blinking on and off, on and off, on and off constantly. Now, the way most people would perceive that is that it looks solid. because it goes so fast that your brain can't process those little gaps in between. And that's usually how movies work. But if you have a faster metabolic rate, you might be able to see the ons and offs, because you can see that little bit of information that's lost behind that not everyone gets.
Really?
Yep. And they found that one thing that can do that better than anyone else are flies, because it tends to be the smaller species have a faster metabolic rate.
Yeah.
So flies can see stuff almost 6 times faster than we can. So it's not that they're seeing, it's not like that there's not more happening. They get more information. So time runs slower. It doesn't merge into the one. So if principle is relative, or if we take the principle that time is relative to the person who is observing it, then is there one solid time, or is time individual, or maybe past, present, and future are one and the same? They're not past, future. They are one thing, and we perceive it at different points. That you perceive a certain present that someone else does not.
Yeah.
Which would conform to relativity, that there is one point in time happening in the warped section and one happening in another. So then if that's the case, is time travel even possible?
Welcome to this episode of the Idiots Anonymous podcast, where Rory gains a PhD in temporal paradox analysis.
Honestly, I thought it was just like a good point to stop on, you know? Is it real? Can you do it? Do you believe that it can?
Yeah? Well, let us know in the comments below. Like, comment, subscribe.
Just speaking of comments and stuff. So Ryan and I did just like a tiny bit of advertising this week, just to kind of ask more people if they want to have a little listen. And quite a few of you did. So we just want to say a huge thank you, especially the people that got back to us and said, you know, gave their feedback and stuff.
Yeah.
So we just maybe want to introduce you that we actually don't go around each of the different podcast services and upload ourselves. What we use is a little kind of tool. It's called Anchor. It's a distributor. So what that does is we upload to Anchor, and Anchor does the distribution for us, which means we can get it to as many platforms as possible.
We're lazy.
We're lazy. We don't actually see all the comments there or all the likes and stuff. So if you ever wanted to get in touch with us, if you know us personally, shoot us a message. Otherwise, we do have the email, theidiotsanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. You can send us a little message on Anchor if you like. Quite simple, just anchor.com/theidiotsanonymouspodcast. Or we're also on YouTube. If you prefer to watch through YouTube or comment on YouTube, go ahead and do that.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Yeah. But once again, guys, just thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much, guys. Cheers, Rory. Sorry, mate. Someone just came in my room. What?
Was it your mum or something?
No.
Ryan, it's me from the future. I was playing with those things in your room. It was me. I have a really important message for you. You'd have to make episode 8 of the Idiots Anonymous podcast, and it has to be about...